Hey, this is Cody, co-host of At the Table podcast with Patrick Lencioni. For this week's episode, we are running one of our most popular topics from our sports culture podcast. The title is Teamwork Dies Young, and it's a great conversation where Pat and I explore the impact that youth sports has had on the culture of teamwork and its influence on society at large. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of Sports Culture, the podcast that presents the overlap between teamwork, leadership, and organizational health and the world of sports. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How you doing, Cody?
Doing great.
Hey, we have a unique, different show planned today, don't we, Cody?
We certainly do. So we were having a conversation in the office and we were talking about youth sports, specialization, all the things around that. And you sat down and in 30 minutes, you wrote this article. You read it to me and I said, hey, let's go over to the cottage. Let's turn the mics on. I want you to read this and let's discuss it on the podcast.
And I just wrote it to kind of get my thoughts out, not knowing what it was going to be used for. So
let's do this. I just want you to read it. It's going to be a little unique, but read all the way through it and then we'll discuss it at the end.
All right, here we go. So why is sports losing its sense of teamwork recently? What is behind all this over these last few years and decades? It's money. But it's not the money that professional athletes get. Yes, some parents still want their kids to grow up and be like LeBron James or Mike Trout or Russell Wilson so they can cash in and supposedly be set for life. But most parents realize that the chances of that happening are pretty low. The money that's driving the self-centeredness in sports is the money that's being paid to youth sports coaches and trainers and leagues. And I'm not condemning them because they aren't trying to ruin kids or families or the sports culture, not at all. That's just the unintended consequence of it all. Here's how it's happened, and how ironically it is connected to the exorbitant and unhealthy money at the highest levels of sports. In the world today, there are thousands of adults whose livelihoods depend on getting parents to commit their kids to year-round sports. One-on-one training, or practices, or games, or tournaments, cross-country travel, even international travel. I know this because I've been dealing with it for the past two decades. In order for these trainers and coaches to build their businesses, they have to convince parents and young athletes that their ability to participate in sports, not just to succeed, but to participate even at the high school level, is somehow determined by their willingness to specialize in a given sport and play it year-round. Sure, they'll encourage some participation in other sports, but only if it doesn't interfere with their business. And again, I get this. It's their livelihood. They're not trying to be malicious, not at all. They're some very, very nice people. But it's not good either for sports, for families, or for kids. For kids, it means earlier specialization than they want. No kid wants to play one sport all year round. Heck, they don't even want to eat one flavor of ice cream or hang out with one set of friends or go to one single place on vacation. Kids want and need and benefit from variety. But through their parents and peers and coaches and trainers, they learn early on that specialization is their key to being able to experience any level of success as they get older. And by older, I mean teenage years and high school. So they specialize and they play year-round. Now for families, this is enormously stressful. I've seen so many families with limited means use their vacation time and money to go to tournaments. Fishing and body surfing and camping give way to staying at hotels in random suburbs with hordes of other volleyball/basketball/lacrosse/baseball players. Fill in the sport you want. By the end of the week or weekend, the kids are burned out. They're saying, maybe they'll cancel our last game and we can go to the beach. And the parents are burned out. Hey, maybe we'll lose our next game and we don't have to go to the championship so we can actually go visit our cousins. And then they drive or fly home, hoping that this financial and family sacrifice will allow them to continue playing at the ripe old age of 16. Now, for the sport itself and for teamwork in sports, the result of all this is a focus on individual player development and specialization of skills rather than teamwork. Very young kids find themselves playing for multiple travel teams, often as even guest players. Why would they do this? Because they want to spend as much time practicing as possible. They want to please the coaches who are going to choose the players for their next travel team. The tournament organizers want as many teams and players to spend money signing up for the event, and coaches want their parents to keep doubling down on their child's individual improvement and commitment. Ironically, by the time many of these kids are 16, they've often had it with their chosen sport. Parents, when this happens, feel a great sense of regret, like they've wasted their time and money over the years. And coaches get frustrated because their athletes are wasting their talent by opting instead to hang out with their friends and play video games. Now, for those who do want to continue playing their sport, there is often a culture that comes about that seems more like the grind of an unhappy job in the employment world than it does the joy of play. See, these students have to capitalize on their lifelong sacrifice and commitment to their sport by getting college scholarships, or at least that's what they think. Many of them eventually come to realize that the money for scholarships is scarce, unless, of course, you're a top player in football or basketball. And so they go to college and they eventually quit when they realize that the cost-benefit analysis doesn't serve them. So where does that leave us when it comes to elite athletes? Well, these are the people who often lack the kind of life skills and attitudes that they need later in life because they've invested almost everything in one pursuit. And most ironic of all, they lack the interpersonal skills to be real team players. Professional athletes today, the vast, vast majority of them, have lived some of the most limited, singular, robotic lives on the planet. From the age of 6 or 7, they've been trained to do one thing their entire life. What's particularly interesting about all this is that 2 generations ago, when I was a kid, we complained about how countries like the Soviet Union and China created athlete robots by taking them out of their families to specialize in a sport for the supposed glory of their country. Today, with no government coercion, we're actually doing it to ourselves. And at the end of the day, we are left wondering why. And we are baffled by the on and off court behaviors of our elite athletes who never experienced any well-roundedness in their lives. So this is something I just wrote, Cody.
Yeah, wow.
In 15 or 20 minutes sitting at my desk. It's just because I wanted to collect my thoughts. And when I read it to you, you said, okay, let's take that on.
Well, there's so much in there and so many different elements of that that we could talk about. But this sort of encapsulates some of the themes that we've teased out in professional sports. And so many people reached out and said, hey, but non-professional sports, that's where real teamwork exists. And I think you do a great job of pointing out ways that where we've even said at the professional level, money is the thing that's corrupted teamwork at the professional level. And it's also the thing that's kind of misdirecting teamwork at lower levels.
Absolutely. And we are preparing people to behave that way. It's not that they get to the pros after 30 or 15 years of practicing great teamwork and decide now I'm selfish. It's actually baked into the system. And by the way, we have our producer, Tracy Noble here, who she has 2 sons that play baseball. And my kids do. Now you have a 1-year-old daughter, so right. You're going to get to experience this.
I'm very interested in the future of this.
Right. And it'll be interesting where this goes.
And so when you talk about a cottage industry that is sort of the underpinnings of this cottage industry that is enticing or enforcing or requiring students and kids to be a part of one sport all year. I mean, tell me about your whole family plays lacrosse. How does this play out? I'm interested from as a parent, but I'm also interested to see your take on this as someone who, you know, had those type of thoughts.
Yeah, it's a really frustrating thing because as much as I believe in all the things I just wrote, I'm still struggling to make things work within that system. I have a 13-year-old, he's in 8th grade, and he's done with all sports but lacrosse. Now that's crazy. I played 4 different sports until I was 17 years old. But the truth is, if he's going to be able to play in high school, he needs to be good enough. And the irony of this is the skill level of these kids is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. The joy of playing and their ability to actually interrelate to one another is far less than it used to be.
Yeah. And aside from that, you talked a lot about specialization, which I thought was so interesting. And I recently read a book, David Epstein, I believe, who wrote this book called Range. And he actually argues the opposite, that actual early specialization leads to less skilled athletes in the future, which is such a...
Seems counterintuitive.
It seems counterintuitive, certainly. But when you talk about specialization, and it's totally true. I remember I was sharing a story with you that when I was a basketball player in high school, it was forbidden to play any of the other sports while you were in season.
Right.
It was even against the law to go skiing. You know, basketball happened in the winter and I grew up in Utah. And I went skiing with all of the starting 5 of our team. I happened to get injured. And as a result, I was demoted to the JV team.
Right.
But so it wasn't illegal necessarily to play or to ski. It was just to ski and get hurt.
And get hurt and get caught.
But there's so many... I think the point that you're making here is that this early specialization doesn't only lead to a lack of undermining of teamwork, but what it does is when they get to college and the professional level, you said, you had a great line in there that said the grind of an unhappy job. It's like these people that have done the same thing over and over and over again.
You know, when I was a kid, every game was a blast because there wasn't that many of them. And we'd go, oh, we get to play a game. Kids today are like, oh crap, I have a tournament this weekend.
Yeah. The examples you gave of, I hope we lose. I've heard that so many times. In fact, I know Tracy, who's sitting here across the table, was used some of her vacation time to go to Phoenix, we've Arizona for a baseball tournament.
It was in the middle of summer, though, so it was worth it.
So it was prime time. And was hoping that they would lose the second game so they could enjoy themselves.
Exactly. And this happens all the time. And so you start to wonder, well, why is this happening? Who's doing this? Well, there's people who organize tournaments who make a crap load of money. Mm-hmm. And there's people who do training and sell things there. And I get it. It's their livelihood. I don't blame them. I think the solution is that we as parents have to step back and say, is it really necessary? And what is the cost of someone playing high school sports? By the way, high school sports are now what college sports used to be. I played college sports. And I quit after my sophomore year because my coach made it very clear he didn't want me to do anything but sports.
Right.
And I was like, I'm here to get an education and I want to be an RA and I want to have some fun, drink a beer once in a while. Yeah. And it was like, oh no, you're going to run all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, high school sports are now the intensity of college sports, what they used to be. And unfortunately, college sports, like I have kids in college that play sports and they play in a certain, in club level, because in California, there's no intercollegiate in their sport. And they talk to their friends that play D1 or D2 who are miserable because they are owned by their coaches.
Absolutely. Well,
to what end?
I know. And even less than 1% of them are going to go on to be the elite level athlete that plays in the professional. So you're, like you said, the ROI or the cost benefit analysis is just not there.
Yeah. Something has to give here. Mm-hmm. And I think it's what's going to have to happen is parents are going to have to start getting advice. Like as Quinn grows up, I'm just going to tell you, don't sign her up for that because you're not going to be happy. You're going to lose out on certain things. And hopefully there's going to be a trend toward that. So these people that are organizing leagues and tournaments and teams are going to realize they got to pare it back.
That's great. That's great advice.
Because until that happens, as long as there's parents willing to spend ridiculous amounts of money, Tracy and I are laughing because we've done it, on things that are far less fun and family memory inducing than an athletic tournament. Until that happens, this the economy of this is going to support it.
Absolutely. So one other question for you, and because part of what we do in this podcast is to try to find the overlap of sports and business.
Right.
How often do you see companies falling victim to the same specialization type mentality?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple ways that this overlaps. One is that we think, well, I want to get somebody who's just good at one thing. Mm-hmm. And that leads them to pretty quick burnout. And frankly, if you're not well-rounded and you're only doing one thing, I mean, I guess if you worked in a factory and there was like, okay, here comes the widget, you need to apply the paint. The next person is going to wrap it. The next person is going to whatever, put a stamp on it. The life just doesn't work that way anymore. And if a person can't interact with a customer and do something technical and think outside the box and problem solve, the chances are they're not going to be that successful. Mm. But we still hire for those skills. My sons in college are going to career fairs. And you know, the jobs that seem to be the most prevalent are in finance and technology. And they want people like, can you do the books? And can you code in this one program? Mm-hmm. So many of those kids get burnt out fast. And it's not unlike the sports thing. It's just not very wise long-term.
Yeah, and I think there's a underappreciation of a generalist type role. Someone who can do integrative thinking and someone who can be, you know, largely proficient at a lot of things, but not an expert at any one of them.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? I have a friend who says that fame is a curse, or even the desire for fame is a disease. And what I think what he means by that, and I agree with him, and is that almost everyone in society today that's famous is a specialist. Like they've done one thing their whole life. Literally 40 years ago, athletes had jobs in the off season. Like the best quarterback in the NFL did something in the off season. Today, they have not done anything but play their sport since they were about 9 years old. And that is just not good. And it's one of the reasons why they're not happy. Mm-hmm. And they retire and they're just like, I mean, think about this. If you've played that sport for 18 years, 25 years, and you're retiring, you feel like you're falling off a cliff if that's the only thing you've ever done. And that's kind of what we set people up for today.
And on top of that, the ones that do make it, and we talked about this on a previous podcast, that after winning the Super Bowl or the World Series or name the title, they're not happy.
Yeah.
They've done one thing their whole lives. They think that that is the ultimate goal. They accomplish it and there's no there there.
Yeah. And it's a crazy thing. And we celebrate those athletes. I mean, I think of Michael Phelps. I saw him on a commercial the other day. So Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, best swimmer of all time, miserable guy while he was doing it. Miserable. And he was on a commercial the other day for counseling, going to see a counselor and working out your personal issues, because until he did that, he wasn't happy. And this is a guy that we put on a Wheaties box and the announcers talk about his life was perfect.
And that so many kids wanted to be and emulate.
Absolutely. Tom Brady, I think I said this recently, was on a 60 Minutes interview, probably like this was 8 years ago. And they said, you know, what's life like for you? You have all this money and you've got a hot wife and you're a famous athlete. And he's like, there has to be something more than this. You know, and I think if you went back in his life when he was 12, he probably should have been building a fort in his front yard instead of throwing 1,000 balls through a tire.
Well, I'm so glad that you wrote that piece and read it to me. I think that this is a message that so many people need to hear. And there's so many applications there for parents, for people who aspire to be professional athletes, for businesses who rely too much on specialization. So,
and by the way, there's no judgment here.
Right.
On the coaches, the parents, we all, it's a struggle. It's something that's happened in society. And hopefully we can stop and realize that and then value the power of the generalist in our businesses. Society will be a lot more balanced.
Well, and I think the first step is awareness, and hopefully this does a little bit in that vein.
All right. Well, that's this week's Sports Culture Podcast. I hope it's helpful to somebody out there, and we'll look forward to seeing you on our next one. God bless.